And men, are we good? All right. We're not good. Okay. In 1 minute, we'll be good. Amen. All right. If you got your Bibles in Matthew, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to take them and turn them to Matthew chapter number 1, verses 18 through 21. Matthew chapter number 1, 18 through 21. Matthew 1, verses 18 through 21. I want you to read together with me down to verse number 21, if you would, if you're able to stand. If not, definitely understand that. Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 18. Everybody there say amen?
Amen.
Any omies? All right, here we go. Matthew 1, verse 18 says, I read with me. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together as we looked at the birth presents this morning, the wise men gave. But then, Lord, as we look at tonight, the birth parents that you gave to the baby Jesus, Lord, help us to glean a blessing from it. Lord, I pray that we might be challenged afresh and anew once again from your word, Lord. And as we look at what was given by the wise men, we may look at what you gave as well by way of parents, and Lord, glean from that what we can give to Jesus as well this coming Christmas day. And Lord, we pray that you're blessed now. There's one amongst us tonight that knows not Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. I pray for that man, that woman, boy, or girl, they would come to know you as Savior, because, Lord, that's why you were born into this world. You're still the reason for the season. Bless now the next several moments that we have together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. All right, are we good now, brother? Now we're good. Amen. If we can get that on the presentation, that would be excellent. This morning, or last week, we saw, last Sunday night, we saw the little drummer guy, and we looked at what the drummer guy had to give. And, brother, go ahead and put that on the screen, the PowerPoint presentation. No, down here in the lower right-hand corner, the PowerPoint presentation. We saw the little drummer guy and how he gave the heart, gave his heart. No, not that one, brother. Right down here next to the 83%. There you go, right there. Amen. All right, there we go. Now we're cooking. Oh, now we're not cooking. Yeah, now we're cooking. Amen. All right. Amen. All right. The little drummer guy, we talked about him last Sunday night, and what he gave was his heart. Then we looked at how Joseph gave his heart of obedience. And this morning, this morning, the wise men presented their gifts as well. The theme has been over the past few messages, and then probably on Wednesday, is what was presented to Christ at his birthday. And again, you know, birthdays come and birthdays go, but this birthday is special. And we want to see what is it that we can present unto Christ, since we saw in chapter 2 and verse 11, they worshiped him and then they presented unto him their gifts. Contemplate tonight, what can you give to Jesus that he doesn't already have? What can you give to Jesus that he doesn't already have? This morning we talked about giving him those areas in our hearts that we have need of surrendering, and that is true. We need to do that. But tonight we're going to take the look at the birth parents. This morning we saw that the wise men, they worshiped and they presented the presents, and we also saw that they presented on him gift of gold, a gift of frankincense. The gold was for a king. The frankincense was the prayer and the praise, and we saw that the myrrh was for the Savior in his embalming that he was going to have to go through. And so the gold was fit for a king. The frankincense was for a god, because you only pray to God. And the myrrh was fit for a Savior. And we saw as well that you and I can present something to Christ as well. And it is ourselves as a gift. The Bible still says, present yourselves a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God. That's your reasonable service. It's just reasonable. It's just right. And so as you look at those areas and what the drummer boy gave and how Joseph gave a heart of obedience, the wise men gave presents and they gave gift of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We can give ourselves. God gave something too. God gave parents to the baby Jesus. I don't know if you ever really stopped to think about that, but that was something that God gave. Now, out of all the people in the world, God chose Mary and Joseph. Thousands of people in Israel he could have chosen from, but he chose Mary and he chose Joseph to rear baby Jesus. Now, what was so special about Mary and Jesus that God would look over all of Israel and stop at Joseph and Mary? I wondered tonight if God was looking for someone to raise royalty in, would he stop at your home? Would he stop at my home? Would there be something in me, would there be something in you that he could see in your parenting skills that he'd say, you know what, that's exactly what I'm looking for. You know, that's exactly the type of parent that I'm looking for. That's the man, that's the woman, that's the combination, that's the duo, the duet that I'm looking for to raise this special person. Would Jesus stop at our homes? Would God pick your family? Interesting, isn't it? You never know. God may have already given you someone that's going to be special, and he's entrusted you to raise them. May I add to that that everyone that he gives you is special. And he gives them to you for that reason, to raise them for him. But when it came to the Son of God, when Jesus had chosen you as parents to raise Jesus, we're going to look at some things that God gave to Jesus, because he gave these two specifically for a reason. One of the things that we need to know about these parents, because oftentimes we look at Mary, we look at Joseph, we say, oh man, we could never be like Joseph. We could never be like Mary. May I submit to you that they were not popular people. May I submit to you they were not prominent people. May I submit to you they weren't public people. They weren't prosperous people. May I submit to you, they had no power. They had no prestige. They had no palace. Joseph was not priestly. He wasn't preparing for the ministry. They were peasant people who didn't have a whole lot. But let me tell you what they did have. They were pure people. They were prepared people. They were precious people, and they were poised people looking for their Messiah and their Lord. And as a result of their purity and their poise looking for the Messiah, God picked them. To these parents, young Jesus' early years were entrusted to them to rear. Now just imagine, just for a moment with me, having the privilege and the responsibility to raise the Son of God. As a parent, how intimidated would you be? Knowing that this is God in the flesh that I'm raising as my child. Knowing that I'm raising perfection. How can you improve on perfection? But yet and still, my job is to raise perfection. He would make you look bad. He'd make your brothers and sisters look bad. If I had the parental responsibility to raise God, I can't wrap my mind around that. But that's exactly what Mary and Joseph were chosen to do. To take Jesus in his infant days and to bring him up to the point where his ministry would start. And they weren't popular. They weren't prestigious. They did not have the public favor. They didn't have all of those things. They were peasant people, but they were poised, and they were looking for the promise of the Messiah. And to these two, Jesus was entrusted. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, there are certain children that run around here that think they know a whole lot. Some children think they know more than their parents. But may I submit to you, Jesus actually did. Some children think they're stronger than their parents. May I submit to you that Jesus actually was. Some children actually think they're wiser than their parents. They know more. May I submit to you that Jesus actually was. Some children actually think they're more talented than their parents. Jesus actually was. Some children think they do more than their parents. And all this work I do, man, I tell you what's the truth. Jesus actually did. Some children think they can be more than their parents. I'm going to be more of a success. Jesus actually was. Some children think they're richer than their parents. Jesus actually was. Some children think they will have more than their parents. That looks like Joshua, doesn't it? Some children think they will have more than their parents. Jesus actually did. When I saw that picture, I thought, man, that looks like Joshua. Those glasses on. Amen. And so, in all fairness, when children think they know more than their parents, Jesus actually did. When children think they're stronger than their parents, Jesus actually was. When they think they're wiser and smarter, Jesus actually was. When they think they do more than parents, Jesus actually did. So in all counts, Jesus did more. But yet and still, God chose to put them in their care to raise. God saw fit to present unto Jesus earthly, mortal, sinful people as parents to the Son of God. Now, they were earthly and mortal and sinful people, and they were still the parents to rear the Son of God. And what was it about them that was so special? Well, let's just notice a few things. Let's notice the person of Joseph first. The Bible says Joseph was a righteous man. Look at verse number 19 with me in your Bibles. It says down there in chapter number 1 in verse number 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Just man there means that Joseph was equitable in character or act. He was innocent. He was holy. He was righteous. He wanted to do what was right, and he did what was right. He would be, if you would use the word, justified. He was a just man. Joseph was a righteous man. Understanding that he could not go through with the marriage, Joseph wanted to handle things quietly, knowing that the law stated that he should have Mary put away. Hold your fingers there and go back into the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 22. He was a just man. He was a righteous man. Deuteronomy 22, Joseph, fully knowing what the Bible said in the Old Testament, not wanting to make a public example out of Mary, chapter 22 of Deuteronomy, and notice verse 23, the Bible says this, if a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto a husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city, and the man, because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt put away evil from among you. Joseph, knowing this, that if Mary is indeed pregnant and he is not the father, then she has been with someone else. She has been defiled, and so by law, she should be stoned, and the man too. But Joseph, being a just man, didn't want that to happen. Go to the next chapter, chapter 24, I'm sorry. In chapter 24, notice verse number 1. When a man has taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And that's what Joseph is looking at doing. Now, he could have gone the other route and had her stoned and said, I don't believe you. But Mary had such a character about him that Joseph said, you know what? I'm really not altogether on this. And so I'm just going to write you a bill of divorcement. But you know the rest of the story. The angel came and said, don't do that because this is of God. And so Joseph here was obviously one man that knew the law. He was a just man, or he was a righteous man and wanted to do the right thing. And so the right thing in his eyes was to put her away privately, not to make a public example out of her. And you know what he did? He did the right thing. He took unto her, Mary, his wife. We know, the rest of that story. So we find that Joseph was a righteous man. And so I believe that God presented unto Jesus a righteous man to rear him, knowing Joseph's attention to the law, knowing Joseph wants to do the right thing, knowing he doesn't want to make a public example. Joseph is a righteous man, the one type of man that you'd want to have to rear the Son of God. Now, I submit to you, husbands, are we that type of a man? Because that's what God presented unto Jesus at his birthday. He said, I picked out this man, his name is Joseph, and I found him, and he's not going to be your father, but he's going to be your parental authority whilst you're down here, because he's a just man. He's a righteous man, and he presented unto him a righteous man. Men, ladies, is that our character as a parent? Are we righteous? That's something that we can give to Jesus for his birthday. A righteous parent. There is no righteousness aside from the righteousness of Almighty God under the blood of Jesus Christ. There's something else that was presented to Jesus. Joseph was not just a righteous man. Joseph was a real man. He was a real man. That was verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And notice the words, fear not. Joseph was a real man. The Bible says, fear not. What does real mean? Real means fixed or permanent or immovable. It means not artificial, not fraudulent or illusory. It means practical and everyday. Joseph was willing to take on the humiliation, the ridicule, the scandal, the outrage, and the outpouring of the Jewish wrath of having a lady who was pregnant outside of her marital relationship. Knowing that was going to come, he was a real enough of a man to say, you know what, I'll take it. You know what? I'll stand against the ridicule. You know, people are going to find out that I haven't been with her yet, because there's a period of time between the engagement and the actual consummation of the marriage that happens in the Jewish relationship. And people are going to know that, hey, I'm not the father. But you know what? I'm going to be a real man about this. I'm going to be a real man. I'm going to be real about this. Many men today shrink from the responsibility of being a real man. I get calls on that phone in that office and on my cell phone all the time. Can you help me with my rent? Can you help us with some food? Can you help us with this? Can you help us? All financial needs that should be provided inside the family unit. I have never, ever gotten one call from a man. You know who they've always been from? Ladies. Because men sometimes are too sorry to take responsibility to be a real man and get out and get a job. Men sometimes are too sorry to be a real man and say, you know what, we need something. Let me ask somebody for some help. They're not a real man. You say, preacher, is this Father's Day? No, it ain't Father's Day. I'm just being honest with the phone calls that I get. When I get phone calls about helping me with my rent, with my utilities, with my bill, with food, and et cetera, they're always from ladies. Now, I know there's got to be a man in that house, too. Now, sometimes there's not. I understand that. But oftentimes there is. I've had some folks that come to this church and would ask me for a handout, and I got to find out there was a man staying in the house. Now, wait a minute. If there's a man staying in the house, why can't he provide for you? Why are you going to milk off of the church when there's a man staying in the house that can work and get a job and be a real man? I'm just saying. Joseph was a real man. He went through the shame. He went through the ridicule. He went through all of the things that happened here for his wife. And I believe there were many days when Joseph had to go toe-to-toe and defend Mary's honor. And he had to defend her character. And I believe he had to defend her on many fronts of assault from the Jewish authorities when they would say things about this child and this pregnancy. You recall, after it was all said and done, she went to go stay with Elizabeth for a while. Probably for fear of what was going to happen. Real man protects his family. He provides for his family. He points his family into God's will and how he parents without thought of payment or personal gain. Notice chapter 2, verse 13. Notice the protection that he gives. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother. Flee into Egypt. Be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And you'll find Joseph doing that on several occasions, fleeing for the protection of Mary and the young child. That's just the account that we have listed there. So Joseph would be able to shield and protect and watch over Mary. He'd be there for Jesus in the younger days when people sought their hurt. And so God presented unto Jesus at his birth a righteous man, but also a real man. And thirdly, I believe that God gave Jesus at his birth a rendering man. You say, preacher, what do you mean a rendering man? Notice verse 21 in chapter number 1. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, if you read the account of Luke, you'll find that oftentimes when the firstborn son was born into the family, he was called by the father's name. I had told my wife years ago when we got married, I said, you know what, I don't care how many children we have, but that first boy is going to be Gregory Allen Dawson II. I said, now we can have 13 boys, but that first one's going to have my name. I'm not giving that right up for anybody. I'm not rendering. Nope, that is set in stone. My wife said, amen, that's it. And guess what? Gregory came, and guess what his name is? Gregory Allen Dawson II. I wasn't going to give that right up for anybody. I wasn't going to give it to any other person. I wasn't going to name him Allen after my dad. I wasn't going to name him C.L. after my dad, my grandfather, Charles Lewis. I wasn't going to name him Minner after my great-grandfather. I wasn't going to name him any of those names. He's going to get my name. Joseph here has the opportunity to call Jesus after his name, Joseph, but he renders and says, you know, I'm going to render unto God and give him first place. The angel said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. I'm telling you what to name him because he's going to save his people from his sins. I'm telling you he was a righteous man. He was a real man, but he was a rendering man. He was not afraid to give up his rights. Instead of naming the child after himself, as was often the case, Joseph rendered the name given by the angel, which the child should be called Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Jehovah saves or Savior. Now, you might not know this, but according to verses 21 and 25, notice what it says here, and she shall bring forth the son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Notice verse 25. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name, what's that? Jesus. He's a rendering man. Did you ever stop to wonder what the name Joseph means? The name Joseph means may Jehovah add or give increase. Let me ask you, which name is more descriptive of what Jesus came to do? Jesus, Jehovah saves, or Joseph, Jehovah add or give increase? I think Jesus is the better name. And so he rendered that right to Jesus and said, you know what, I'm not going to have my own rights, amen. This name is better. That's what God told me to do. And so I'm going to render to Jesus the name that the angel said. I'm not afraid to give up my rights by any means as a father. I would have been hard-pressed to call G2 by any other name than what I called him. Why? That's my right as a parent. As a father, I have the right to name him that with my wife's consent. Which she agreed to before we got married. We had to get that settled. Amen. If I have a son, he's going to be Gregory Allen II. Now, if you don't like that, then we'll have to do something about that. Amen. But she didn't have a problem with that. So what am I saying? Three things that I believe God gave Jesus at birth. He gave a parent that was a righteous man. He gave a parent that was a real man. He gave a parent that was a rendering man because he knew that this was going to be the type of man necessary to raise up baby Jesus in his early years who's going to handle him right. Can you imagine, just for a moment, if God would have gave him a hot-tempered man, a redhead, got a hot temper. Any redheads in here? I'm sorry, I'm not being. Oh, he's pointing over here. Amen. Redheads have a tendency to be hot-headed. Is that true? Anybody? Is that true? Yes? No? And so can you imagine if Joseph was hot-tempered, if he was unrighteous, doing shady deals and doing his carpentry and having unfair balances, or if he was not a rendering man, he didn't want to give anything to Jesus. He wanted to take it all for himself. He was an unrighteous man. He was not a rendering man. He wasn't a real man. I'm not going to take up any responsibility. Y'all talk about Mary all you want to. Yeah, old hussy, old slut. Yeah, I want to tell you. I told her she shouldn't have done that. I married anyway just to help her out some. I felt sorry for the woman. Amen. No. Can you imagine if Jesus was reared in that kind of environment? But God knew the parents to present to Jesus at his birth, and he gave him a righteous man, he gave him a real man, he gave him a rendering man, and although Jesus didn't need an example, he still had one. Because Jesus, Son of God, he didn't need an example. But in his early years, he did need protection. He did need someone righteous. He did need a real man. He did need a rendering man that's not afraid to give up his rights. He did need that. So I believe that God looked down all around Israel and saw this man, Joseph. And he said, you know what? That's a good combination. What about this lady, Mary? Mary. We saw the person of Joseph, the person of Mary. For Mary, let's go over to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1. See a few things about Mary. Maybe this is why the Lord chose her. One of the first things that jumps out about Mary. Now imagine, ladies, you've got to carry around this child for 9 months. Now, I mean, hey, Jenny Wilkerson is going through right now. 9 months, you got to carry this child around, and you know that no one has touched you, but yet there's a child growing in you. And the angel has said, this is the Son of God. Can you imagine? What thoughts are going through your mind in the 9 months? The Son of God, how can I as a mortal raise God? How am I as a mortal going to be the parent to God? How am I as a sinner needing salvation myself bring the Son of God into the world? How is this going to happen? One of the first things that sticks out about Mary was that she was pure. She was pure. Notice verse 27 of chapter number 1. It says down there, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So Mary was pure, first of all. One of the reasons why God picked her, she was obviously had kept herself morally pure all her life. She was ceremonially pure also. She understood the value of being chaste, and she understood the value of her future spouse. And she understood that I'm supposed to be pure until marriage. I'm not supposed to have any relationship with another man until I get married. I understand about being pure. And so I think one of the first things that jumps out about Mary, I'm pure. And she knew she hadn't been touched, and she knew that she hadn't been defiled, and she knew that this was something that she was going to keep for her future husband. She understood the value of being chaste. The word chaste means being clean, being innocent, being modest or pure. And those traits often help keep a young lady and a man pure, like Mary, for God's usage and a happy, healthy marriage relationship. How many young people nowadays get involved intimately before they're married? And they shack up and they live with others and they go through all the things that married people do, but they never are married, and they give away something very vital and very key to them, their purity. And then they're upset when that other person leaves them and somebody else has to come in the picture. Then they're upset when that one leaves them and this one leaves them. And before long, they begin to feel worthless. They begin to feel like a harlot. They begin to feel like, you know, I'm not worth anything, because every time I get somebody and get intimately involved, they leave me. So it must be me. You see, when you're pure, you don't have to worry about that, because you don't give up anything until the marriage happens. So I believe Mary, one of the first stops was her purity. And do you ever stop to think, the Bible says when she found out she was pregnant, she ran with haste down to Elizabeth. Now do the math. Going to Elizabeth is the last place you want to go. Say, but that's her cousin. But yeah, Zacharias is a priest. You know what a priest is supposed to do? Uphold the law. And so now if I run into Elizabeth's house and say, hey, guess what, Elizabeth? I'm pregnant and I'm not married yet. And Zachariah's standing in the background. I'm going to take this to the Sanhedrin tomorrow. Pregnant out of wedlock. Now, me and Elizabeth, we've been together for a long time. We ain't had no kids, so we've been barren. So, but you talking about, you ain't even married. She should have been scared to death to go to Zachariah's house. But you know what? The angel said, you know what? The same thing happened to you is happening to Elizabeth. And so she ran with haste down there to say, let me get down there. Let me get some consolation with this thing. If the angel visited you the same way he visited me, you can validate my story. This is true. Zacharias, you can't talk. I understand that. Amen. But guess what? This is validated. So the last place you would think she'd want to go would be to run down to Elizabeth. But she ran anyway. Why? Because she knew she was pure. And she knew she was innocent. And so she was able to go down there. God presented unto Jesus a pure mom to rear him. But not only that, she was a positioned mom. Notice verse number 28 of chapter number 1 in Luke. It says, and the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. She was well positioned. Mary had positioned herself in the will of God. And she had did according to all that God had asked her, so much that the Bible says not only was she favored, but she was highly favored. So in other words, she wasn't one of the candidates. She was the top candidate. She wasn't just favored. She was above everybody else. If the truth be known, if the parents were listed and they say, how do you stand with God? Where would you stand with the rest of the parents? Scary, isn't it? Scary. Mary was position. She was highly favored. So when God looked down, he said, you know what? There it is right there. She said, at the top of the list. She was highly favored, meaning she was above others in her ability to please God and her willingness to please God. She was one of the top. Highly favored means to grace, to endue with special honor. It means to make acceptable. Unknown to Mary, the angel had his eyes on her. He said, you're highly favored among women. Our lives may be looked at and scrutinized this very moment. God could be looking at your life. He said, I got something for you to do. Are you ready? I got something for you to do. Have you positioned yourself? Are you pure? Have you put yourself in the position to be utilized by me? God may be looking at your life right now with a magnifying glass and seeing what is it in your life that's going to either make you acceptable or that's going to make you unacceptable for what I've got you to do. By the way, this does not mean that she's sinless. But when measured to other moms, she was sinning less. What every child needs is a mom who's highly favored by God because she is not only in the will of God, she's doing the will of God, she's thrilled about the will of God, and she longs to do the will of God. And so God presented unto Jesus, I believe, a positioned mom, a pure mom. I believe there's something else. She was a presented mom. I believe that Mary was already accepting of the idea. Notice Luke chapter number 1, verse number 38. She says down there, after the angel comes to her, Mary said, behold, the angel of the Lord. Now, what had the angel said? Up there in verse number 37, the angel said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. He said, you can have this child because the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and you can have this child. And Mary said this, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. What am I saying? She was presented. She had already presented herself. She had already demonstrated the New Testament principle of yielding your body and living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. She had already done that. She had already presented herself and said, okay, if you say it can happen, it can happen. Here am I. I'm going to present myself for your use, for your disposal, for what you say you want to do with me. I'm all for it. Let me ask yourself, are you all for what God wants to do with your life? Have you presented him your life and say, God, here's my life. Do what you want to do with it. My life is yours to control, Lord. It's yours. I'm pure. I'm positioned. I'm presenting myself to you. Lord, do with me as you want. Have you done that? Because that's what Jesus wants from you. That's what God presented to Jesus on his birthday. A pure mom. A positioned mom. A mom that said, you know what, I'm presenting myself to you. Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. But not only was Mary a pure mom, a positioned mom, and a presented mom, I believe God gave Jesus this parent because Mary had to be a personal mom. After getting the announcement of the angel and the months passed by and she had already gone to Elizabeth and she'd already gone through labor and the taxation went out, now it's time to have this child. She had to be personal. You say, preacher, why does she have to be personal? Go over to Luke chapter number 2 in verse 7. Verse 7 says this, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. I believe God presented unto Mary because Mary was a personal mom. Now think about it. The Bible says she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes is a medical term for strips of bandages. And what they would do is they would wrap the animals in that, and they had these things there to wrap up baby Jesus in these strips of bandages, the swaddling clothes. And the manger is a feeding stall or a feeding trough or a feeding crib. Now imagine just for a moment the possible scene and conditions. It's cold. It's animals everywhere. It's smelly. There's no comfortable bed. There's no running water. There is no midwife. And you're asked to give birth in those conditions. Ladies, how many want to be signed up for that? Let's go out into the barn and have your baby. No, y'all want to go to TMC. Y'all want to go to UMC. But wait a minute. TMC's booked up. UMC's booked up. But we got the garage out in the back. And we got the animals back there. The cows there and the chickens there. And, you know, the little garage mouse is there. And the pig is there. And, you know, all the animals are there. And, you know, there's got to be a place that you can find in there. Mary had to be a personal mom. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, G2 is not going to be born in no barn. That's my firstborn. 20 years we waited for him. We are not having him in the barn. It ain't going to happen. You say, but you don't have any other choice. We're going to make some choices. He's not going to be born in the barn. But what if you got no other choice? And they had no other choice because she was heavy with child, the Bible says. With that possible scene in mind, Mary being great with child, she had to make this atmosphere somewhat personal for the Son of God. I'm not just bringing in anybody. I'm bringing in the Son of God. I'm bringing in Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. She had to make that environment personal for the Son of God. I'm not going to bring him just to any old place. I've got to make it somewhat comfortable for him. Amidst the animals, amidst the sheep, amidst all the hay and the straw and the cold walls and amidst the non-running water, I've got to make this somewhat personal for the Son of God. This is my firstborn child. How would you want your firstborn child to be born? Now, this number 14 or 15, I can see. You're like, you know what, this is old hat. We can have it in the living room. That'd be all right. But we're talking about number one. Number one. Ironically, unlike today, probably everyone had access to this area, which meant that she had no privacy. Still, she had to make it personal. To get into TMC, you've got to stop at the security check. You've got to give up your license. You've got to get a badge from the person there. And they've got protected areas. They've got cameras. You've got to get buzzed in. You've got to get buzzed out. You've got to wear a badge. You've got to do a whole lot of stuff. None of that is here. Yet and still, she's got to make this personal. She's got to make this personal. For her, for Joseph, but most of all for baby Jesus. Let me introduce something to you that you may have never thought about. Did you ever wonder why Jesus was not born in the inn? Why he wasn't born in the palace? He wasn't born in a high-stake place. He wasn't born in a house, but he was born in a stable. He was in the manger. I believe possibly God could be showing you that the way to salvation is accessible to all. The shepherds came right in. The shepherds didn't have to sign up for anything. They didn't have to go through a security checkpoint. The shepherds walked right in, and they saw exactly what the angel said they'd see. And I believe God allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to be born in humble conditions to show you that whoever you are, no matter where you came from, I don't care what you did, I don't care what you look like, you can come to the Son of God. It doesn't matter. There's no protection on this area. There's nothing secure about this whole scenario. The shepherds walked right in. When you humble yourself, guess what? You can walk right into the Lord Jesus Christ and obtain salvation when you confess your sins, when you repent of your sins, when you worship the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I want what you have, I can come right in. And I believe that God allowed the conditions to be in such a way to show you that it's accessible to anybody. And it's accessible to everybody. All children need a personal mom. They need love. They need this warmth. They need this caring. They need this touching. They need this caressing. They need this this helping. They need all of the things that are listed there that we have. They need the understanding, the instructing, the patience, the love, the kindness, the playfulness. Many things that men are not, women normally are. Can I get amen? That's why moms are so special. Do you know that Mother's Day outshines and outsells Father's Day by about tenfold? I wonder why. Because moms are personal. When the boy scores a touchdown, he says, hi, Mom. I haven't heard one say, hi, Dad. And maybe you have. But they say, hi, Mom. When they go out and buy the houses, they buy them for their moms. They don't buy for the rusty dads oftentimes. This is for my mom. Kids bring home projects normally. Who they give it to? This is for my mom. Why? Moms are personal. And I believe God knew that Mary was not only pure and Mary was not only positioned and highly favored. She had presented herself. She was personal. And she would be the right candidate for the Lord Jesus Christ to be born into her care. We see it demonstrated in the way she took up Jesus. She wrapped him up and she laid him up in the manger. By the way, this was not the optimal place for the Son of God. It's not the optimal place for a king. These weren't the conditions that a king is in. This wasn't the palace. It didn't smell good. But I believe Mary made it very tolerable and acceptable for the Son of God for that occasion. Even though it was not what you and I would choose. I believe she made the best of a bad situation. Moms have a tendency of going places and calling places home. They arrange furniture and things like that. My wife, she tickles me. She'll go someplace, and if it doesn't smell quite good, she'll get her perfume and spray it around, and she'll spray it on the things and, you know, make it smell a lot better. Now, oftentimes, I'll do the same thing if she doesn't do it. But moms want that comfort. And I believe Mary made this manger seem personal and personable for Jesus Christ. What am I saying? God presented unto Jesus a personal mom. God presented unto Jesus a presented mom. She had already said, I'm willing to give up my life for yours. God presented unto Jesus a pure mom. She was already pure from being a virgin. She was a position. She was highly favored. She was already doing what she should have done. And I put it all together. Mary was pure, positioned, presented, and personal. Joseph was a real man. He was a rendered man. And he was also a righteous man. These are things that moms and dads and all of us can present to Jesus for his birthday. And by the way, God presented Jesus that for his first birthday. He had those parents to come into this world and open his eyes to Mary and Joseph, a righteous man, a real man, a rendered man. He got a chance to look up into a pure mom's eyes. She had never been defiled by Joseph. Not only was she a pure mom, she was a positioned mom. She was a presented mom. She was a personal mom. She made the best of a bad situation. And oftentimes, moms, you got to make the best of a bad situation. Sometimes us men, we just don't know what to do. And I believe Mary said, you know what, Joseph? Can you imagine Joseph being a righteous man, a real man, and a rendered man going into the stable? And I can just hear Mary now. Don't worry, Joseph. I'll make do. Don't worry. It'll be okay. But Mary, you're having the Son of God, and just watch it. It'll be fine. I'll take care of it. It'll be fine. But the animals and the smell, and there's no privacy, and it'll be fine, Joseph. Can you imagine her calming Joseph down? If he's a real man, if he's a righteous, if he's a renter, he wants what's best for her and the baby. But I can see her calming him down. You know, Joseph, if this is the only thing that we have, we got to make the best of this. Now, at least we're enclosed. At least there's a feeding trough here. At least the swaddling clothes are here. We'll be okay. Joseph, we'll be okay. Can you imagine? God presented unto Jesus a personal mom. These are the parents of Jesus. Of course, we know that Joseph wasn't the father, but he was the father figure. Mary was the mother. And the question is, what will you present to Jesus this year for his birthday? What will you present for his birthday? We know that the wise men presented gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. God presented these parents. You know, we can't give Jesus anything. We can give him our parenting skills. We can say, you know what, Lord, I may not be the righteous man that I need to be, but I'm going to work on that. Lord, I may not be the real man that I ought to be, but Lord, I'm going to work on that. Lord, I may not be the rendered man that I need to be like Joseph, but I'm going to work on that. As a mom, you may say, I may not be the pure mom that I need to be, but I'm going to work on that. I may not be the positioned mom doing the will of God and highly favored, but I'm going to work on that. I may not be presenting myself as a living sacrifice the way I ought to be, but I'm going to work on that. And I may not be as personal as I ought to be, but I'm going to work on that. And Lord, this Christmas, that's what I'm going to give you. I'm going to be a better parent. Because I don't know who you're going to put in my care. I don't know who I'm raising right now. It may be the next person that's going to change the world. And God, so for your birthday, I'm presenting unto Jesus my parenting skills. I'm going to be a better father. Be a better mother. I'm going to be a better son. I'm going to be a better daughter. I'm going to be a better grandparent. Whatever it is. We see some character traits in Mary and Joseph as to why God may have picked them. You know what? We've got to present to Jesus something for his birthday. What is it going to be? Like I said this morning, ask God and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to present to Jesus for his birthday? The drummer boy gave his heart. Joseph gave a heart of obedience. The wise men gave gifts for a king, a God, and a Savior. God gave him parents, a real man, a righteous man, a rendering man. Gave him a mom, a pure mom, a positioned mom, a presented mom, the personal mom. What can we give? Search your heart. Ask God. God, what is it that I can give you, hear me now, that you don't already have in my life? What can I give you that you don't already have? And I assure you, he will answer you, and he will tell you. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father, as we come upon this last Sunday evening before Christmas, Lord, I pray that you would render in us and let us know what you want us to render to you. Holy Spirit, speak to each and every man, woman, boy, or girl here. And Lord, I pray that if we've not made a decision about what you want from us, Lord, we would humbly ask you, what can I present? We've seen examples from the little drummer guy, from Joseph, from the wise men, and now we see from God Almighty and what he presented to Jesus for his birthday. Lord, now it's our turn, it's our time to give something. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to every heart, every mind that's here tonight. Help us to give that which you would have us to give. Maybe it's our parenting skills, maybe it's love, maybe it's kindness, maybe it's something else. But whatever it is, Lord, help us to give up our rights for your rights. And give what Jesus asks us to give. With every head bowed and every eye closed, how many would say, preacher, I'm not saved. Pray for me that I can get saved. I need to give my life, first of all, that I can be born again. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I know Jesus was born into this world to die for my sins, but I've never accepted that personal gift. If I died right now, I'm in danger of going to a place called hell, and I don't want to go there, and I know God loves me. Pray for me that I can get it settled. You'd raise your hand high and say, preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. How about it then? Maybe today you're here and you still are unsure as to what God would have you to present. And you say, preacher, would you join me in praying that I would know exactly what God wants me to give to Jesus for his birthday? I don't want to make any mistakes about this. I think it might be this or it might be that, but help me to know crystal clear what it is that God wants me to present to Jesus for his birthday. Pray with me, preacher. And you'd raise that hand saying, pray for me, preacher. Pray for me, amen. Amen. I see several hands going up. Amen. Amen. You may put them down. Now, folks, the thing you've got to do is be diligent to ask God what God wants you to give. Tell him to press it upon your heart. Tell him don't give you any rest until you know exactly what it is. It may be something as simple as obedience. Maybe a better attitude, better spirit. I don't know. Father, bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are still bowed, eyes are closed as Miss Diana plays. Maybe God spoke in your heart. Maybe you want to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, make it crystal clear what you want me to present to Jesus. His birthday is only 5 days away, and I really don't know still. Maybe you need to come. Come down, kneel at an old-fashioned altar and say, God, let me know what I need to give. Or maybe like Jesus, you would say, you know what, I've got some parents here that are blessable. I don't know what it is, but let God speak to your heart. Have you any room for Jesus? God gave him some birth parents. They had some very, very good traits about themselves. But I wonder, if the truth be known, would God stop at our house to raise the Son of God? Or would God stop at our house to raise someone of prominence and importance, spiritually speaking? Because he knows we're righteous people. He knows we're real people. He knows we're rendering people. He knows we're pure people. He knows we're positioned people. He knows we're presenting people. And we're personal people. We're going to make the best of a bad situation. He knows that. You say, preacher, I'm working on those things. Good, we ought to be. We haven't met the mark yet, I understand that. If God spoke in your heart, would you pray? Would you ask Jesus what he wants you to give? Have you any room for Jesus? Maybe you need to give him your schedule. Maybe you need to give him your time. Maybe it's your treasure, your talent. Maybe it's your coworkers. Maybe it's your attitude. Maybe it's your bitterness. Maybe your unforgiveness. What can I give to he who has everything? How about give him yourself? How about give him those areas that you forgot about, been holding on to? Bid him enter while you may. Father, thank you once again for your blessings on our message tonight. Lord, thank you that we got a chance to look at yet another presentation of how you gave parents, birth parents, to baby Jesus. The wise men gave birth presents. Lord, help us as we look at Wednesday's message and look at what we can give on that last and final message before Christmas. We know loved ones will be here and family and friends will be here and many things will crowd out you. But Lord, help us to make you a priority in our schedule and in our life and let others know that you are a priority. And Lord, your name is the reason for the season. Your life is what it's all about. And help us, Lord, to not let anything detract from that. Help us to minimize the hustle and the bustle and maximize the honor and the praise to Almighty God for sending Jesus Christ to be born. Lord, one day you're coming back soon, and we're looking forward to your return. But until then, help us to continue to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Thank you for meeting with us tonight. Give us traveling mercies and grace. Pastor White, would you come and dismiss us in a word of prayer? And folks, don't forget about Wednesday. We'll be here at the normal time. And then next Sunday, we'll have altar times at 10 to 45 only. I know Sunday school and no evening service. Next week, and we'll be doing a year-end review, so you want to come for that as we go over Psalm 121 once again. Thank you, Pastor White.
Let's pray. Father, thank you again for tonight, Lord. Thank you for a very sobering message, Lord, and spoke to our hearts tonight about our parenting skills and things that we can present to you, Lord, that would be pleasing to you. May we examine each man's heart and each woman's heart here tonight, Lord, that we might see some areas that we could give, Lord, that would be pleasing to you. Again, we thank you so much for just the blessings that we've had of being in your house today, Lord. Your word has come forth in power and in truth with clarity, Lord, that we can leave here and say that it has been good to have been in the house of the Lord. And we pray tonight, Lord, to be eating amongst us tonight under the sound of the preaching of the word of God, and even at the extended of this prayer, Lord, that does not know Christ the Savior, God, I pray that this would be the night, this would be the day that they make that decision for you before it's eternally too late, that you speak to their heart in a special way. Lord, that you honor each prayer and thought that came to this altar tonight for whatever the reason may be and whatever they want to present to you, Lord, may it be acceptable to you that you use them in the days to come. Again, we pray for those that are traveling, Lord, give them traveling mercies. We do pray for pastors, family, his mother and father, they come on Tuesday. I pray you give them safety as they travel. And Lord, that it be an enjoyable time for him and his family while they're here in a special way. We love you, we praise you, and thank you for all that you've done, for what you're going to do in our hearts and in our lives throughout the remainder of the day, this season. Lord, we ask your blessings upon it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.